Hey, this is Ollie and welcome to The Body Reset. This podcast has been built to help career-driven professionals and business owners intelligently upgrade their body, energy, and personal performance in the modern world. I want to help uncover some of the core concepts, beliefs, and frameworks that we've used with thousands of clients to navigate health and performance as we age. If you want more like this, simply subscribe so you never miss the newest episode.
What if I told you that two of the biggest things that are impacting your ability to balance your blood sugar may have nothing to do with the food you're eating or the way that you're moving? Blood sugar control is probably the crux of all of health and longevity for humans. That means that any of the health issues that you may be dealing with at the moment, whether it is weight gain, whether it is low energy levels, whether it is high blood pressure or high blood cholesterol or brain fog or mental fatigue or even cognitive decline, sleep issues, all of those things fundamentally come back to our ability to balance our blood sugar levels. And this is because getting glucose, blood sugar, into our cells is how we produce energy. And without that ability to produce energy, our cells don't function well. And that means our body doesn't function well. So when we really kind of boil it down to the nitty gritty, blood sugar control is the key thing we need to be looking at. But it's tricky because blood sugar control is a hormonal process. And that means that it's impacted by other things in our environment that impact our body and our hormones. So we're going to talk about two today. We're going to talk about sleep deprivation and we're going to talk about chronic stress. And we've been talking about stress a little bit lately. In fact, Ollie did a really great training on stress and training that resilience and whatnot last week, which I encourage you to go back and watch after you've watched this one, if you haven't seen it already, because there's a lot of great tools in there to kind of understand the stress piece a little bit more. But I want to talk specifically today about blood sugar control, but through the lens of stress and sleep deprivation. So what we're going to do, we'll start with sleep. There's really interesting studies actually on sleep deprivation in humans, and some of them are relevant. They're all relevant, but some of them more so to a real world situation. So there are sleep deprivation studies where they just deprive humans of sleep for a full night, which is not typically what humans, you know, in the real world environment that we're dealing with. A lot of us are dealing with though is chronic kind of moderate sleep deprivation. That means maybe 6 hours or less of sleep occasionally across nights in the week. And when we look at this, they actually take a bunch of healthy individuals and they sleep deprive them and they do a whole lot of blood sugar measurements throughout that time to assess how is their body dealing with the sleep deprivation in the context of blood sugar control. Are they able to regulate their blood sugar? Does their insulin levels change? What goes on metabolically with sleep deprivation? And it's really, really interesting is what we see is that individuals that have been sleep deprived, the next day when they have a meal, also when they first wake up, their blood sugars will sit higher, meaning they haven't been able to clear that glucose from their blood and into their cells for energy. So that's a problem because sugar sitting around in our blood creates basically collateral damage to our cells. But when they have their first meal, they get a much higher blood sugar spike from that meal than someone who has slept sufficiently. So it means, you know, our body's kind of struggling to regulate that influx of blood glucose. And then across the day, they get higher spikes and bigger drops. So again, it really dysregulates their ability to balance. And what they saw is they did this over a week. And all the markers that kind of are pre-indicators of developing type 2 diabetes or insulin resistance down the track start to show up in these individuals within a week. So within 1 week of they deprived them to 4 hours of sleep a night, so maybe a little bit more of a deprivation than most of us are dealing with on a day-to-day basis. But yeah, within a week, these individuals started to show metabolic signs of developing insulin resistance and type 2 diabetes. So it just goes to show how powerful that lack of sleep is on our blood sugar control. And there's many mechanisms. It gets very complex how that's actually happening. But just to know that that's the impact that's having really brings our priority back to, you know, blood sugar dysregulation is a symptom of a deeper issue. And the deeper issue may actually be the lack of sleep in the first place. So sleep, really, really important. We can be doing all the right things with food. We could be doing all the right things with movement. But if we're not prioritizing sleep, we might not be getting all the results we could be when it comes to looking after our blood sugar. The chronic stress one's super interesting as well. So when we're talking about stress here, we're not talking about acute stresses. And Ollie touched on this in his training last week as well. You know, there there is good stress. Absolutely, there is good stress. Our body is designed to kind of seesaw between those in-stress and out-of-stress modes, and it's actually an adaptive risk. Our body is adapted to that and does get beneficial adaptations from occasional stresses. The problem really lies in the chronic stresses. So this is when we're sort of sitting in that slightly heightened stress response all the time and never dipping back out of it. And, you know, it's been a bit of a recurring theme in a lot of client discussions that I've had recently and a lot of discussions that I've just had with people in my own world. It's such an insidious thing because we get adapted to the level of stress that we're dealing with to the point that we may not know. We may not even recognize it anymore, the impact that it's truly having on us. And so we can live in this state of chronic stress, kind of used to it and not really realizing how much of a cost that's truly having on our body. And it costs us in many ways, but when related to blood sugar control here. So when you are stressed, cortisol rises. Okay, cortisol is our stress, one of our stress hormones. Now, cortisol's main role in the body is to increase blood sugar levels. It does this to help us survive, right? So it's in direct opposition to insulin, which is the hormone that helps us get glucose out of our blood and into our cells. So when we're stressed, our body is constantly elevating glucose up, right? So we've already got a problem there for our glucose levels. But it does this to the extent that it will seek out opportunities to raise glucose from all sorts of places. So it can actually break down muscle mass. It can break down our muscles. It may even dig into proteins and whatnot in our digestive system, in our veins, in our skin, it will take what it needs in order to do what it is supposed to be doing and holding the blood sugar up. And so what we see with chronic stress over time, and I've seen this pattern occur in humans, is they will slowly lose muscle mass despite eating exactly the same, losing muscle mass and gaining visceral fat, because that chronically elevated blood sugar leads to fat accumulation, even though maybe the cortisol is just doing its thing as an adaptive response. So we see this loss of muscle mass and an increase in belly fat over time, nothing to do with food, nothing to do with training, purely to do with the stress response on the body. So we really have to be paying attention to the impact that cortisol has on our ability to balance blood sugars as well. Now, this over a long term obviously creates some fairly significant issues, but in the short term, it's really noticeable as well. If you want a continuous glucose monitor and notice your blood sugar changes going into a stressful situation, you really see how impactful this is on our body day to day. So when we're thinking about blood sugar control, we absolutely have to be looking at the foods we're eating, and that's a really great place to start because it's really controllable. We can manage our food structure, we can manage our movement and all those sorts of things. But we also really, if we want to get all the goodness that's on the table, all the benefit that there is to be had there, and looking at diet and lifestyle, we need to be looking at sleep and we need to be looking at stress levels as well. And these are a little bit more tricky because sometimes sleep issues can be really long-term and quite ingrained. So they take a little bit of patience. They take a little bit of persistence to unravel. But a couple of things we can look at here to start paying attention to sleep is creating an environment where we can really sleep well. So this is looking at this actual sleep environment, so our room we were sleeping, and also the routines with which we go to bed. So first thing I would do is, rather than focusing on bedtime, focus on wake time. What time are you getting up in the morning? Can you make that regular? Getting up at the same time in the morning and get outside and get some sunlight. That morning light really helps to reestablish circadian rhythms and circadian flow, and it can help you then wind down easier at the end of the night. So it's not about going to bed, it's about how are you waking up. Create that routine first and then move to your bedtime. And rather than it being about bedtime, bring it back a little bit and focus on the wind down routine. So rather than setting a wake up alarm, which maybe you still need, set a bedtime alarm. That might be the best alarm you can ever set. Set an alarm that is an alarm that allows you to focus on, right, it's wind down time now. I'm going to, you know, turn the lights down, turn off the screens, go through a bedtime routine and really create that routine and flow for your body to be able to settle into really good quality sleep. Focus on having a really dark room with minimal, you know, no flashing lights and all those sorts of things. things, in a cool room as well. Don't sleep too hot. That really mucks up your sleep quality. Your body needs to be able to kind of drop its internal temperature down a little bit to sleep really well, and to get that quality of sleep. And, you know, the sleep deprivation, the studies looked at depriving people to 4 hours in a chunk, but it could be even if you're going to bed, say, at 10 o'clock and waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, within that time frame, you might be having just a broken sleep that you're not getting quality of sleep. So you may, in effect, have some deprivation going on there, even if you're sleeping for a longer amount of time. So quality is really, really important as well. And then looking at the stress piece. So stress is a funny one because a lot of times we can't control the stresses that we're going to be exposed to. But the one thing we can control is the moments we bring in to counteract those stresses. So stress isn't a level, it's a threshold. And constant stresses wears us down. But if we counteract those with moments, we can actually create something that is stronger all along. And my analogy here for this, because you guys know I love an analogy, is bread dough. If you take a lump of dough that you're going to turn into a loaf of bread, and you know we've got to knead it, right, to stretch the gluten proteins. Well, if you just pull it, what's going to happen? It's going to rip. The proteins aren't going to get stronger. They're just going to rip apart. However, because that's just a stress that's just applied consistently and you end up breaking something. And humans are the same. Consistently applied stress is just going to end up breaking something. But bread dough has a very cool little unique factor. And that is if you apply pressure and release, apply pressure and release, and do that over time and then allow some rest time and then do it again, you develop these proteins that means that that loaf can grow to something that's, you know, two times or three times its original size. It develops strength and resilience, and humans are the same. And I think when we look at stress that way, we can view it through the lens of, it's not that the stressor is bad. In fact, the stressor is a really great thing. But what are we doing to bring in? What are we bringing into our life? What are we choosing to bring in to allow some release from those stresses so that we can grow from it rather than break from it? So you can't necessarily control what happens, but you control the moments you bring in. And that looks like, you know, bringing in some stillness. We're doing this for a challenge with our mastery clients at the moment, 10 minutes a day of stillness where there's just no inputs and just sitting in that space. And it's a little bit uncomfortable. It's really hard when we're wired to go, 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 especially if you're a high performer or you're in a busy job or something like that. You've got a lot of demands on you. Being able to sit in stillness and just hold that space is a really, really uncomfortable thing sometimes. So leaning into those little moments, start small, just bring in those little pockets, meditation, breath work, all those sorts of things. We don't value them because we don't understand the impact that stress is truly having on the results we're trying to get. And hopefully understanding that connection there of what cortisol is actually doing in your body and what sleep deprivation is actually doing to your body, how it may be the thing that is stopping the weight loss from occurring, that is stopping the energy from returning and coming back like it used to be, or maybe even allowing your blood pressure to come down. We have to be paying attention to these things because everything in the body is interconnected. And so just focusing on one part doesn't fix all the pieces. So hopefully that was useful for you, just a little bit of inside knowledge onto how those processes work and why it really matters that we pay attention to these things in the context of blood sugar control, which, like I said, is sort of the crux of human health and something that's really measurable. In fact, potentially measuring blood sugar might be one of the better things we can do to really look at stress tolerance, because if somebody's eating really well, exercising really well, but they're still having blood sugar kind of dysregulation, then we have to start asking the questions around sleep and stress as well, because those are the next things to flow on from that. Like I said, Ollie did a really great training on stress last week, so absolutely go back and watch that as well. And we have a giveaway, which is kind of like a stress resilience building document, some steps to go through, a bit of a process there that can help you start to tackle this. Because, yeah, it is an interesting one that we need to work through, and some tools to help get on that ball, get rolling with that can be really, really helpful. So I've got that for you if you'd like. Just comment stress down below. We can get that sent out to you and you can start working through that process and just see how much of an impact it has on all of those other pieces of health that we might not necessarily have thought linked straight into stress. So enjoy the rest of your day, guys. Have a good one, and I will see you next time.
This episode was brought to you by The Body Reset, world leaders in health and performance coaching. If you love this episode, it would be a massive help if you just share with one person that you think would benefit. I'd also love to hear from you personally on social media or via email if I can help you personally. Until next time, remember, long-term change comes from self-compassion, and thanks for tuning in.